It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zach Penkew doing a great job behind the scenes. We appreciate you. Joe Beamer is out. I'm David Bellavia in at Hardline. And we have Jack O'Donnell from O'Donnell and Associates joining us. Zach, give me help with the hotline. I appreciate that. But Jack O'Donnell from O'Donnell Associates, you've seen him everywhere, including WBN. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well this morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm trying to figure out what's going on behind the scenes with Joe Biden as he's fighting off these forces all around him telling him to move on. There's a piece by Alex Thompson in Axios that talks about Biden's Obama grudge drives his 2024 resolve. Essentially, this piece, and Axios, by the way, they're doing some really good work. I mean, they've got sources. They're really impressive. Let me get your take on this, Jack O'Donnell. They're saying that it's because 2016, Biden didn't run for president, had nothing to do with his recently, loss of his son, Beau. But actually, this was Obama telling him, we promised Hillary, it's her time. And the family is saying that would have been the best time for Joe Biden to run for president. He was sharper. He was had more energy. And now you guys promised us this is our time. You're not shoving us out the door. How much truth do you put with that?
Well, I don't really think that a lot of people at the highest level of politics in any party put that much stake in promises. But I do think there's a lot behind this. I think that Joe Biden, the Biden family, really felt disrespected when Obama chose to support Hillary Clinton in 2016. And I think that resentment only continued to grow when she lost. The Biden folks, Joe Biden, believed that he would not have lost to Trump in 2016, that the states that we're focused on now, places like Pennsylvania, Michigan, he thinks he would have done better than Hillary Clinton, and I tend to agree.
Well, I mean, I think the polling numbers show that in those, you know, in the areas like Michigan, Wisconsin, the Rust Belt areas, the Union areas, that's always been, you know, the bedrock of Joe Biden's career. So when we look at the idea that he's coming, he's getting out on Sunday, this is the day, everyone's leaking this out to the media. But the, I mean, first of all, Hunter, we know how much he relies on counsel from his family. Hunter's not even in on the East Coast. He's in California. So I no one could possibly believe that today is the day that the president is going to make an announcement that he's not, you know, continuing on the ticket. Is the game here to bleed this out? Is August 1st the official drop dead date of we have a ticket for the convention? Does it all officially go away if Biden hangs on until August 2nd?
There's no real deadlines here, and that's why this is such a mess. I mean, I've seen those reports, but we've also seen things from the Biden campaign saying they're, you know, here's his schedule the next 10 days. He's doing 10 fundraisers. He's doing these other things. I don't sense that Joe Biden is ready to go. You know, no matter where some members of the family are, I think Jill is the biggest one driving this in the family. I don't want to get lost in that, but I don't see any signs today that Joe Biden is leaving. And I think that underneath all of that is causing a lot of consternation for Democrats who do want him to go. And to be clear here, we've only seen the tip of this iceberg, right? The 30-some members of Congress who come out. Joe Manchin just came out. Senator Joe Manchin just came out. you know, there are a lot of folks behind the scenes who think it's time, but either out of respect for him, out of respect for the process, you know, haven't said anything yet. And I think that's starting to change as people get more frustrated. But there is no hard and fast deadline, right? The DNC had talked about doing a vote this week that was originally around the Ohio deadline to get on the ballot. Ohio changed that, so there is no deadline. So then the DNC tried to do it to just put these things to bed, and they got so much pushback on that, they moved it back to August. But that is all soft, and the problem here is if Joe Biden leaves today, there are a lot of Democrats who want him to leave who don't know what's next. Is that Vice President Kamala Harris? There are plenty of folks in this party who have doubts about her. People who supported her campaign 4 years ago who have doubts about her and her performance as vice president. There are a lot of other folks who want to be president, who have been talking to delegates, some of the governors from around the country, the Gavin Newsom, the J.B. Pritzker from Illinois, Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, Roy Cooper in North Carolina. I mean, there's a lot of these folks who think it should be them. And the rules don't really provide for an orderly transfer of power. They would suggest that we would have an open a floor debate at the convention, and man, that will be chaos.
You know, I look at Joe Manchin's criticism of Joe Biden like I look at Chris Coons' support of Joe Biden. You know, you could pretty much chalk that up as, you know, I don't need to hear an impassioned speech from Chris Coons on Meet the Press. I mean, I get where he's at. But here's this is where I feel uncomfortable. The party has every right to pick who they want, right? That's and I think RFK's legal people are going to be very fascinated on if ballot access becomes an issue. And they do change a lot of ballots for early voting. I think RFK is going to have attorneys over there saying, wait a second, what about, you know, all the doors shut in my face for a lot of these states? But I think the main takeaway is I'm uncomfortable with people approaching the president and giving him a deal to no longer be president. Like, here's the thing. It's one thing that he doesn't run again. But a lot of these scenarios that we're hearing are him leaving the office to the vice president. And at some point, you know, that looks a little bit more like a political maneuver. And I don't think it necessarily makes anyone that cares about this country think that we're in a good spot right now if people are actively making deals to say, what do you think about maybe not being president anymore? That's insane to me.
I think it makes a lot of Democrats uncomfortable, too. The idea that this would just be handed to someone. And that's underlying a lot of the folks who have not come out. I mean, there is also a question, and you can look at the spot polling, but it only tells you so much, that Kamala Harris is not stronger in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin and some of these states where Democrats need to win. Now, maybe she adds some appeal in Nevada and Arizona and, you know, some of these other places. But, you know, her profile, the people who supported her for president, don't always look that much like the people who are voted for Joe Biden in those states. And I think, you know, he's losing some of those folks in the middle, but a lot of Democrats aren't comfortable that she's going to pick them up. But to your point, a lot of Democrats aren't comfortable having someone anointed, having someone chosen. You know, the idea that the Democratic Party is a few people in a small room making this deal, not only is that make people uncomfortable, but it's just not right. The various stakeholders in the Democratic Party, the people who bring a lot of voters to the table, who are out on the streets doing the campaigning, you know, they all want to have a say in this. And that's normally what the primary season does to us. And that's why this is so hard.
Well, look, I'm super critical of Democrats in general, but to be fair, and you know, trying to be honest about this whole thing, the changes the DNC made were to counter the previous allegations of superdelegates are dictating the outcome. We're just going to allow coin flips in perpetuity. There was a lot of things that you could look back at the DNC and say, you know what, this we could be better. And they were better. And those things that made them better essentially said, clear the traffic out before they come to the primary. That's what the DNC did for Joe Biden, which they should have. He's the sitting president of the United States. I mean, what does it say when 15 people enter a primary against Gerald Ford? You know, that makes Gerald Ford look really bad. It was the one stubborn guy that said, I'm going to do it. The criticism of the Democrats that are somehow not, you know, that this primary process didn't give choices against Biden. I mean, a party doesn't want that. Neither does the sitting president of the United States want to see 15 people jump in.
Oh, the rules are the rules. And but the reality is it's hard to run against a sitting president. That's hard to do. And the fact that all of these people, a lot of them who had raised plenty of money and are out there raising their profiles, the fact that none of them had the guts to do it is not a reflection of the rules. It's a reflection of it is hard to run against the sitting president and not get punched in the face.
You know, every time people are critical of the Democrats in general, it's always like the AOCs, the Bernie Sanders, the folks that are drifting more to the left. What's interesting is that as we're hearing about the real decision maker.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I haven't seen one person ask AOC what she thinks. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a demographic of people that support, you know, the far right, the far left in the country. But when it comes to like real decisions being made by the adults in the room, there are still those center, left of center people running the parties, right? You're starting to see that there is a mountain of elders that the Democrats have that are, you know, not the radical side of the party at all.
Well, that's who I like to think the majority of the Democratic Party is, right? I mean, that's why I'm a Buffalo Democrat, not a Brooklyn Democrat, right? But and that's why those people are the leaders, right? The Chuck Schumers, the Hakeem Jeffries, the Nancy Pelosi's, but. You know, if you're deeper in the party, one of the real interesting factors for me here is that AOC, Bernie Sanders, those folks have stood by Joe Biden. They've doubled down on their support for him. Now, my theory is that some of that is because they are in such safe Democratic seats that they're only talking to Democrats and folks who have to win competitive races for the United States Senate, for the House of Representatives. You know, those folks are talking to Democrats and they're talking to Republicans and they're talking to independents and blacks and sort of everybody else. And that's why they have a different take on this. But part of it really is it's not that she hasn't tried to weigh in or folks aren't talking to her or to Bernie Sanders. It's that they're 100% for Joe Biden, which might tell you something else.
So what's your explanation for some of these polls that we're seeing now? And again, explaining polling, obviously, there's a million things going on here. But I'm looking at states like Ohio, where I would assume that the gap between Biden and Trump or Trump and Harris would be equal than the gap that you're starting to see. How close you have, you know, like the in the Senate race, you know, incumbent Democrats in purple states or red states seem to be competing while Biden is getting, you know, left in the dust. Well, what's your take on that?
Well, I don't want to get lost in anything, you know, more recent. I think between the Republican convention, and I thought you did a great job, by the way, and the attack on Trump. I mean, I think some of the things that are out there, it's hard to look at that. But I have thought for several months now that Democrats are concerned about Joe Biden, and that's not just his age or some of those specific concerns we've seen since the debate, as much as it's concerns that you've heard across the board: inflation, standing in the world, all these sorts of things. I think a lot of Democrats have those, and part of what polls are for people to say, you know, I'm not really happy with Joe Biden. Now, that doesn't mean at the end of the day they wouldn't vote for him. But I think that's what you're seeing, or what you've seen for the last few months in polls. I'm not sure all of those people turn around and vote for Trump. Some of them stay home. Some of them vote for Biden anyway if he's on the ticket. I also think it is a testament to these candidates for Senate and in the House. You know, a guy like Sherrod Brown was around in Ohio, has been around since well before Joe Biden, hopefully will be around well after Joe Biden, and has really highlighted some of his differences with the president, but has been committed to Ohio values, and people know him and they know enough about him. I mean, to me, one of the more interesting races is there's a Senate race in Montana, right, where a Democrat named John Tester is in a very competitive race. And if you look at that polling, one of the biggest changes in Montana is that the population has grown about 10% in the last 5 years. A lot of people reacting to the pandemic, a lot of people moving there, a lot of opportunity there. It's the older voters who have been in Montana for a long time know John Tester, and he does very well with them. It's some of the newer voters who are just saying, he's a Democrat, I can't vote for him.
Yeah, John Tester in New York State running against Kathy Hochul would be Lee Zeldin. It's like the same person, and yet he's like some radical liberal. Hey, so let me, you know, in 2016, the Donald Trump experience was such a shock to the RNC, to the system, that, you know, we were going on Indeed, you know, looking for, you know, a new chairman for the RNC. I mean, the leadership changed, but also the folks behind the scenes that win elections, you know, the guys that are raising the money, sending out the mailers, but really, you know, examining each district and, you know, coming up with plans, those strategists all were like, do I have a place in this party? You know, what should scare the hell out of Democrats is that if you judge the RNC by the Erie County GOP, you know, you're going to be in for a rude awakening, because I'm seeing people at that convention that I thought were never Trumpers, and they're in the smoky rooms again. And, you know, although they might not be good at foreign policy, those neocons have years and years of experience of looking at things seriously. And I think Trump, from 16 to about 22, had a new school politico that didn't really play nice with that side. This is a different Trump apparatus. It's a totally different RNC. What do you think moving forward?
I think it is impressive to the extent that Donald Trump has taken control of the RNC and sort of the professionalism of what that looks like. I mean, you're right. There were so many people who didn't want anything to do with him, even if they were kind of pinching their nose and keeping their head down, they were making a lot of snide comments. And I don't think we see so much of that. I mean, I think you even saw some of that when he announced that he was running again this time. There were a lot of folks, even members of Congress, who were, you know, on the DeSantis train, and that's changed. I look at the way the RNC handled the the platform and how that has changed as an indication of the professionalism and to the extent that they're using this as a political document to reach out to people to broaden their support and position Trump for a big victory.
How frustrating of all the things that, you know, the Democrats, when we look back, you know, look at the MAGA movement in 20 years, guys like you that advise and give lessons to people that are out there dealing with government. You always say work well, you know, know your adversary, know what the opposition's doing. Did the Democrats completely screw up how they could have manipulated Donald Trump in 2016? I mean, if you look at the way that, like, it's his ego. It's he wants to be an important guy. He wants to be respected. You go head to head with him, he's going to eviscerate you. You know, what the approach was wrong. Do you think that there's a way to fix that going forward? Because, I mean, he signed everything the Democrats put in front of him, including bump stocks and you name it. He does what the Democrats want. He spent more money than just about any modern president.
More than Joe Biden, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that is a question that remains to be seen is, you know, I also see in the J.D. Vance pick, you know, a goal of keeping the MAGA movement going, right? Does it, I think a lot of questions before that, does it exist past Donald Trump? I think back to the beginning of this conversation, I mean, Democrats handled this wrong by putting up Hillary Clinton in 2016. I think that the populism that we've seen, and that frankly, I think a lot of us who live in Western New York understood before Donald Trump and before some of these folks were running on it nationally, right? The having been left behind in some ways by both national parties, by the multinationalism, what that meant to our factories, our children, our communities, you know, was out there. And I think Democrats have this tendency to think we're smarter than everyone else, and if people just do what we say, everyone will be fine, versus that's not what people are living or feeling or what makes them want to vote.
Jack O'Donnell, I've talked to you so many times, I feel like I'm one of your associates now. It's O'Donnell and Associates. You are always smart and you're always honest, and I really appreciate that about you, Jack. Thank you for your time. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks so much for having me on. I enjoyed it too.
All right, appreciate that. Jack O'Donnell, O'Donnell and Associates, always kind, always smart. And coming back, we're going to have Dr. Mark Epstein. Let's get the other side of where we are with, is Joe Biden going to leave by Sunday? Doesn't look like he's going to leave by Sunday. Are people going to leave the convention by Monday? That's the real question. Airline, what a nightmare. We'll get into that, too, right after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.